Let's turn in God's Word in Deuteronomy chapter 17. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20. Deuteronomy 17, and beginning in verse 1, these are the infallible words of our God, and so they cannot err. And that means then, of course, that they do not err. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. If there is found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God and transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon, or any of the hosts of heaven which I have not commanded, and it is told you and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed in Israel, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing, and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of the witness shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. You shall do according to the sentence which they pronounce upon you in that place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they order you, according to the sentence of the law which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear, and no longer act presumptuously. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. Those are the words of the Lord. And going back now to the first or second commandment, you shall not make for yourselves any graven image. We're shown in verse 1 the purity, the perfection of those animals that were to be offered as a sacrifice. Again, that's pointing to the need of the final and perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He be righteous without sin. And then through verse 7, that is 2 through 7, the punishment of idolatry among the nation of Israel. And you want to know how serious idolatry is, beloved? Breaking the second commandment. Well, the punishment in God's justice is death. And that may not be a punishment our civil government gives today to idolaters. It's certainly not in the purview of the church to put people to death for idolatry, though it is something that would be under church discipline, but not leading to death. But idolatry is not something the Lord takes lightly. It is a serious sin. And that is idolatry, being worshiping God in any way that He does not command you to do. He takes that very seriously. Yet sometimes what do we do? We place more emphasis on sins, or we find in our minds more heinous sins that are against our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, instead of on those commandments that have to do, or sins against the commandments that have to do with love your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first through fourth commandments. We emphasize the fifth through tenth commandments more so than the first through the fourth. And so adultery and stealing, oh, how horrible those are. And how heinous those are, we think. And they are heinous. But how much more heinous is idolatry and worshiping false gods in the sight of the Lord? Judges spoken of in the last chapter, at the end of chapter 16, are again brought to our attention. We see through verse 13 how appeals would be heard, and that before what is called later the Sanhedrin that we know of in the New Testament. And there is there a showing of the fifth commandment. Yet there are some hierarchies in human societies than in all human society. And it's at the end of chapter 16 here in chapter 17 where we learn, as our larger catechism teaches, that this commandment of honoring father and mother, the fifth commandment, doesn't only deal with parents and children, and it doesn't only deal with how children interact with their parents. We actually see that this applies to superiors and inferiors, and not only to the actions of the inferiors to their superiors, but even the actions of superiors to their inferiors. And then in the remaining verses, the promise that God would set a king over His people. Verse 17, you can see that often argued about issue that people we come to in the Scriptures like David or Solomon. Look at how many wives they had. Isn't God going to condemn that? Isn't God going to do anything about all these wives? Why aren't they being judged? Well, here we know what God says about that, and He does condemn it here of having multiple wives, even for kings and rulers. And oftentimes we see in the Scriptures those multiple wives leading hearts and turning hearts away. We think of Solomon. His heart was often turned away later in his life. And God's king is not to live and act like the other rulers in the world. God's king is to rule according to the very word of God. There's a very clear description there at the very end of the chapter of what he is to do and how he's to be so much in the word of God. And because why? He needs to rule according to the word of God. He needs to fear the Lord. And how is he going to do that except for being in and meditating upon the word day and night? But we also remember this principle is true for all Christians. And we learn that in the New Testament. 1 John 2 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." And how are we going to know what the will of God is unless we read the Scriptures? Because that's where it's revealed to us. The same says in Romans 12, 2. We won't quote that, but that's another reference. Beloved, we are to come out from the world and be faithful to follow the Lord according to His commandments, all of them. The punishments for breaking His law is death, because it says Romans, the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God who always leads us in the victory in Christ Jesus. And we in Him are more than conquerors, more than victorious. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise for Your commandments. We love Your commandments. We hate when we break Your commandments. We hate sinning. We hate, just like Paul hated in Romans 7, talking about it there. And Father, we don't want to sin, so turn us from our sin. Father, we confess our sin. We've broken Your commandments. We've even broken just how You view commandments. And then treating some commandments more lightly than we ought to. Like having no other gods before You, and making images, and taking Your name in vain, and remembering the Sabbath day. And maybe that's something that we as congregation, as elders as well, need to think more about as people, as we sometimes break the Sabbath day very clearly, not showing up to worship, rather disobeying Your command from Hebrews 10, forsaking the assembling together of ourselves instead of not forsaking and being here, and how horrible that is in Your sight, how heinous that is. When we have the opportunity to worship You and yet forsake it for worldly things or for our own comfort. Father, may You turn us from such sins, even to Lord's Day morning when we come out of bed, we're too tired, we're exhausted, and we just don't want to get out of bed. Father, help us to give us joy and strength and love to worship You. Well, Father, we ask that You would turn us from all of our sins. We've broken all Your commandments in thought, word, and deed. Even this very day we have. And so, Father, forgive us. And we know that, as we've even heard in the call to worship, You're a God who forgives Your people of all iniquity in Christ Your Son. And so, Lord, forgive us. And when it's right and good, Father, bring the brethren to bear, to be used, to correct when we walk in any trespass, as Galatians 6:1 teaches us. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Father, may we be those who are used to correct and bear each other's burdens and bear one another up in the spirit of gentleness. And Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts to You, to worship You, the living and true God. May we honor our parents. May we treat well, in accordance with the Scriptures, our children, our grandchildren, those we work for and who work under us, and even those in our government. We see here the fifth commandment principle of honoring the judgment of those who are over us. Of course, here they would have been ruling according to Your word. We know in our day they don't always do that. And so, Father, above all things, we ask that in our hearts and our desires that we would bow and submit to all things, even that we would bow to submit to our government and all things in the Lord. Just like we are to children to obey our parents as in the Lord. And so recognizing that Christ is King, and knowing that when our government or other leaders or superiors, our work, our parents even, as we heard last Lord's Day in 2 Chronicles, when they disobey You and when they call upon us to do sin, or when they have a wicked ruling, Father, may we trust Christ and follow and obey and submit only to Him. And yet, often, Father, we ought to be the ones who are the best citizens and the best children and the best workers, because we are those who are following after your commandments. And so make us to do so. Make us to have a godly witness in our lives that would give opportunity to speak your truth and evangelize and call sinners to yourself, even those who are over us in authority. Father, this day we ask that you be with those who are not feeling well. We pray for Jeannie and Patty and others, Father, who are not feeling well, even some who have getting over sickness this past week. Father, we ask in the coming week you would protect us from sickness, as sickness seems to be going around. Father, we ask that you would give us a trusting heart in you, that we would trust you in all things. Now, Father, we pray this week or in the coming weeks for Arian and Shane, and ask that you would bring about Levi from the womb at the right time and healthy, and that you would give him faith in your Son Jesus Christ at the earliest of ages. Pray that if it be your will that Carla and Michelle help Arian through her labor, that you would give them strength and wisdom, and that you would give them encouraging spirits to Arian. Father, we also ask that you would be with those who struggle and in their bodies, like Dina and Jeannie and Larry and others. Father, we ask Michelle, Father, give strength to your people that we might serve you all the more. And where we have weakness, Father, may we trust that you are our strength and your grace is sufficient. And Father, in all these things, we ask that you would help us, you would encourage us today in our souls and our minds, and change our hearts and wills and even our emotions to follow after you and your Son, that you would make us holy as he is holy. For we do pray in his name. Amen.